And joining me right now here on a Tuesday to preview, as Trey said, Wednesday night football for UCF. That's right. The Knights, because of the hurricane, they postponed this game until Wednesday night, taking on SMU there at the Bounce House. I got Eric Lopez with Black and Gold Banneret and Trace Trelko with the Sons of UCF. Eric, how you doing today? We'll start with you.
Glad to be talking to you again, Mark and Trace. I'm glad everybody, all the three of us, are doing okay post-storm.
Yeah, Trace, everything going okay?
Yeah. I mean, we're all in the midst of this same thing. I've had a friend staying with me the last couple of days who had flooding in his house. So, I mean, in some form or fashion, maybe we know somebody or we've had some sort of disturbance. So it's been a tough time across the state of Florida.
Before we started doing this today, I had to sit down like, okay, what was the last game? And my brain's like, oh, the FAU game. No, it was against Georgia Tech. Let's start with you, Eric. I know it feels like it was 5 months ago. What happened in that football game against the Yellow Jackets?
A lot of bad football to the point where Georgia Tech felt it was they needed to get rid of Jeff Collins right away after the game, day after. UCF, it was a low-scoring game. UCF struggled offensively. I think they threw for like 49 yards in the game or something, like under 100 yards. I know that. And they were carried by defense and special teams. It was not the most pleasing game to watch. Thankfully, it was on ESPNU, so nobody watched it. Hopefully, with this extra time, they can sort some things out, because I think the competition's going up a different level with SMU coming in, who actually has a legitimate offense. Maybe one of the better offenses UCF will see all year.
Trace, you know, Eric's talking about Plumlee, 49 yards. That is correct. What did you see out of him? Especially it's the fourth game of the season.
They didn't need John Rhys Plumlee to pass. Georgia Tech soft against the run. Knights with nearly 300 yards on the ground. It went just as Coach Malzahn and his staff game planned. Making some excuses and talking points for JRP and his passing. But, hey, they didn't need him. As Eric mentioned, SMU may be a little bit better offensively than Georgia Tech. So perhaps they will need his arm a bit more on Wednesday. And which JRP are we going to see? The one that lit up South Carolina State and FAU, or the one that struggled in a loss to Louisville and put up 49 yards against Georgia Tech?
Okay, here's the question, because I did this yesterday on my show about the Buccaneers. Do you have to hit the panic button? The quarterback position, like you just said, over 300 yards rushing. I'll start with you, Eric. Do you have to hit the panic button with the quarterback play for the Knights this season?
I wouldn't say panic button, but there's definitely concern, because I think the question's going to be is, do you have a quarterback that can lead you to a big drive when the game's on the line, when you're trailing? The one time we've seen this team trail in a significant manner was Louisville, and we saw how that turned out. So that's the concern. This team can play from ahead. I think people feel good about the running game, as Trace alluded to it. They're a run-first team. You just hope that Plumlee executes the simple stuff. You know, I heard a lot of excuses about the Georgia Tech game. Well, they were playing it very close to the vest, vanilla. They didn't want to show SMU a lot. Okay, I'm fine with that. My issue is they still didn't execute some of the simple stuff. And that's the thing that's kind of bothersome. But panic, no, because we have seen Plumlee have it in him. The FAU game in particular, where it can execute well. It's just, is the consistency there? That's the question.
All right, Trey, same question for you then with Plumlee.
No, not at all. I'm not worried about him at all. Let's look at all of those drop passes. What is it, 15, 16? I mean, you're not going to catch all of them, but give him back some of those. How about the penalties that have taken touchdowns off the board, especially in that Louisville game? So mistakes, some turnovers against FAU. There have been self-inflicted wounds that have cost this team what would be maybe a 4-0 start. I do think, though, not certainly panic button, but as Eric mentions, this game matters now. Okay. So the Georgia Tech and the FAU, but this is a conference game, and maybe the American is down a bit, but there is opportunity for both of these teams to play themselves into the AAC championship game. You got to win this one. Knights at home already with a loss to Louisville, and the revenge tour starts off with that loss to Louisville. Now they get SMU. Are they going to avenge that loss? Remember, the big talking point going into this season was all four of those losses last year on the road. Get all of those teams at home. It only matters if you win. They lose the benefit of what was a hard sellout family weekend with a Saturday afternoon game, as mentioned, moved to Sunday, now Wednesday. The diehards will be in attendance, and they're going to have to make up for those fans not there with a lot of noise to create some atmosphere at the bounce house.
Okay, I'll put you on the spot, and it's okay if you don't know the answer for both of you. Have they ever beaten someone so badly that the coach was fired? So this happened with Georgia Tech. Has this ever happened before in the short history of UCF football?
Yes. In fact, Trace, I believe you were there, 2000, Alabama. Fired Mike DeBose after UCF beat him in homecoming. Yeah.
Very nice.
UCF fans tend to downplay that. They just focus on the part that they went there and beat Alabama and hold the all-time 1-0 lead. And I think Mike DeBose, either before or after, I think he ended up selling used cars somewhere in Alabama. So, but let's not talk about that. 1-0 against Alabama, but that is a good example of someone.
That I really do. All right, Trace, I'll stay with you. You talk about that running game. All right, do you have a plan moving forward if you're Gus Malzahn? Like, all right, I'm going with this guy for 10 carries, this guy for 15. What do you think the game plan is then for the running game?
I think they'd like to do what they did against Georgia Tech in that opening drive, but end it with a touchdown. 20-plus play drive, nearly 10 minutes off the clock, ends in a field goal. More of that. Coach Malzahn, much like any other coach, wants as much of a balance as you can get. Nearly 300 yards rushing, 49 passing, not much of a balance. Can he put John Rhys Plumlee in a position to complete fairly easy passes, and are these wide receivers going to step up and catch the balls that come their way? They can't be one-dimensional against an SMU, and as Eric points out, are they going to win a high-scoring fest? I don't see how they do that. I think in some ways, as we saw last year, I know Coach Malzahn wrote the book on offense, but he reminds me a little of George O'Leary with ground the team down and a strong defense. It does feel a lot like last year with 20-13 type of games, 17-13, 17-14 type of games. But will that be enough against SMU?
Eric, I will follow that up. Who are the wide receivers on this team? I mean, we're going into October here. I don't feel like we say any of their names or if they're getting any love. Give us some love to some of these wide receivers then.
Well, catch the ball, and then we'll give you some love. I mean, Trey, that's the problem. They keep dropping the ball. I mean, they haven't helped Plumlee from that standpoint. I mean, Javon Baker's been very good. Ryan O'Keefe are the two that kind of stands out. I mean, I think Johnny Richardson out of the backfield is a guy they could use more as the passing game there as well. I mean, Kobe Hudson's been out. He just got back. Can he help? Perhaps the freshman out of Tampa, Florida, Xavier Townsend, but they got to be more consistent in the receiving game, but also the tight end. I mean, Kamori Gamble, does he get more involved in the passing game? They've got to catch the football. And they got to, and they look, they can move the ball. They have to be efficient because one of the things that UCF does a good job is complementary football. It keeps the defense fresh if you have long drives and execute. You're going to have to score points in the red zone, especially when you're facing a team like SMU who could score in bunches. But you're right. The receivers have to step up. We focus a lot on Plumlee, but there has been a consistent amount of drops. There's been theories out there that, well, because they don't throw as much, the receivers are not in a rhythm or this or that. I find that hard to believe that they're not working on that in practice. So the receivers got to step up. I personally don't think this receiving core is as great as people think it is. And I think that's part of the problem here, Mark, is I think we get caught every August because we get caught up in covering this team on a daily basis and we hear all the minutia from the coaches, how everybody's great, and we start believing the hype. And maybe we don't look at the fact that, well, maybe this team has got some flaws in certain areas that maybe we should have looked at closely.
That's a good point. I always say this, July and August is fantasy time. Once you get to September, October, reality sets in. That's what happens every single year for football teams. All right, for both of you, I don't think this defense has got enough credit. They are playing very well to start the season. Trace, I will start with you. What have you seen from the UCF defense, you know, through four or five games of the season?
They've been strong in the red zone, so I will give them that. However, I will say Georgia Tech was able to get some yards on them in the passing game. They locked down when they needed to. Overall, they have carried the team through four games. They have been strong. You do see some moments there, though, when you saw it with FAU, you saw it with Louisville. There are some big plays that come against them, which, again, if you're holding teams under 20 points, you should be able to win those games. So it's hard for me to point fingers at the defense. Special teams having stepped up lately in this last game now with Colton Boomer makes you feel a little bit better. Do they have all three phases of the game? I'm still not sure. As you say, September, October, real time. I'm still not sure we see a complete team. And SMU, you know, they got wins over Lamar and North Texas. They lost to TCU and Maryland. But as time moves along, maybe TCU a little bit better than people thought. Maybe Maryland a little bit better than people thought. Big test for SMU on the road. Important conference game. Last two teams to start conference play in the AAC.
Eric, same question. What have you seen from this defense?
Well, they've been aggressive. I think they've hit their assignments. The linebacking play has been better than I thought it would be. I think the secondary is very good. All that said, I think this is their biggest test to the point to this year. I don't think they faced a balanced offense like they have here in SMU with Tanner Mordecai, who I would argue is the best quarterback UCF will see most this year. He's got 12 touchdowns this season, has already thrown for 1,300 yards passing. They've got a good running game that averages over 150 yards in the ground with Trey Siggers and Velton Gardner, a nice 1-2 punch for them. And then maybe one of the best receivers in the country, Rashee Rice, who has 34 receptions, 565 yards, 4 touchdowns in 4 games. Can UCF make somebody else catch the football and not let Rashee Rice beat you? I'm very curious to see how UCF handles this balanced offense of SMU and what Travis Williams comes up with it scheme-wise. Remember last year in Dallas, SMU just destroyed UCF. UCF had no answers for the SMU offense. Obviously, it's been a regime change. Rhett Lashley is the head coach because Sonny Dykes went on to TCU. So I'm very curious to see what – I think I will know more about the defense after this game than I have learned so far through the first 4 games.
That's a great, great answer. I appreciate both of you guys coming on. Love your insight. We'll end with this. Keys to the game for Wednesday night football. I don't even know if I've ever been to a Wednesday night game before in my life. Have either of you for college football?
Sadly, I have when UCF is in Conference USA against, I think, UAB on a Wednesday during the baseball playoffs way back, like about over a decade ago.
Was Matchin a thing when they were in the MAC?
MAC. They had some MAC games there. Maybe this is all fitting. Maybe it's like a full circle moment considering UCF's going to the Big 12. Here's a key stat for you.
All right.
SMU gives up 180 yards on the ground.
Ooh.
One of the worst rush defenses in the country. So let's be real. UCF ain't going to reinvent the wheel. I think they're going to run the football, control the time of the tempo of the game. I'm with Trace. The less possessions SMU has offensively, the better it is for UCF defensively. But UCF has to execute and score touchdowns, not settle for field goals. That was the issue. You know, Trace brought up earlier against Georgia Tech, when they moved the ball, they settled for field goals, especially in that first drive. That's a key factor there in this game on Wednesday night. And it's a big game. You know, Houston has been a flop. They lost to Tulane, or as I like to call them now, the Hogerson, the game, in honor of Dana Hogerson, who seems to blow games. I think you look at the three best teams in the league, in no particular order, I think Cincinnati is better than people think. Everybody tried to convince me that all they had was a bunch of walk-ons because everybody left. Well, guess what? Luke Fickell has recruited very well. I think SMU and UCF. I think those are the three best teams. I think two of those teams will end up playing for the championship game. Tiebreakers could play a factor in all that. That's why this game is big.
Man, Eric is ready. Eric is ready to play wide receiver Wednesday night. He is ready. I'll end with you, Trace. What are your keys?
Can he catch the ball, though? If he can catch the ball, some eligibility.
That's questionable.
I saw Eric. He was at that UCF Hall of Fame dinner. He was fitting it. He looked like a former athlete. He had the look. I love the hair. He looked good. Trace, what are your keys before we go?
More consistency in the pass game. I don't think, as Eric mentioned, with 180 yards given up SMU and the rushing game more than 280 against Georgia Tech, I think the recipe's there to run the ball, but they're still going to need to pass the ball. Hey, wide receivers, Ryan O'Keefe, fewer touchdowns than safety Quadrick Bullard through 4 games. Okay. So he's been shut out. We need to see these wide receivers step up, catch the ball. And John Rhys Plumlee needs to execute the offense. He needs to be a good game manager for this offense and no self-inflicted wounds. They've been good on penalties the last 2 games. Don't go back to that. Just play hard, smash-mouth football, and it should be a good one. I don't want to go so far in game one in the AAC play in week 5 and say it's a must-win. But if UCF is 2-3 with 2 of those losses at home and 0-1 in conference play, let's revisit this on the next week's show and say whether the panic button has set in.
He is Trey Strelko with Sons of UCF. Follow him on Twitter. It's a must, especially this guy as well, Eric Lopez with Black and Gold Banneret. Guys, thank you so much for coming on, and enjoy the game on Wednesday night at the Bounce House.
Anytime, Mark.
Thank you.